This class, I'd like to use this topic, Ephesus Church in the Book of Revelation, for our mutual encouragement. We know the theme of this class is seeking the first love. And this is first recorded in this Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2. Please turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. Please turn to Revelation chapter 2. Verse 1 to 7. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walk in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Verse 2. I know your work, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who said they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And verse 3, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first work, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Verse 6, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of Nicolaitan, which I also hate. Verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. To him who overcome, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This is a letter that God, Lord Jesus Christ, told John to write to the church in Ephesus, and was addressed to the angel of the church of Ephesus. The angel here, it means messenger. It's not necessary the spiritual being with two wings. Okay. So God wanted the speakers or the leaders in the church of Ephesus to read this letter to the congregation, to let the believers in Ephesus to know what is their problem. And later on in verse 7, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. I'm sure that we all included, because we all have ears, and we are in the church of God. Right. So this letter is also written to us. So what does God want to say to the believers in Ephesus and also to us? There are three major points. First, from verse 1, the second part of verse 1, all the way to verse 4. We can see that God wants the church to know that he knows everything, and he really cares for us. In the Bible, first says, God appeared, saying that he holds a seven star in his right hand, and who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. What does that mean? If you look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, it says here that the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands, which you saw, are the seven churches. So Lord Jesus Christ appeared, you know, and walking among the seven golden lampstands. Seven means a complete number, okay? It means all the churches. Okay. And he walked among the churches. What did he do? He's actually looking at us, just like a parent looking at a toddler, okay? Afraid that the toddler might stumble. And the parent watch with a lot of attention. Okay? And this Lord Jesus Christ also said, the seven star in his right hand. The seven stars represent messengers, also represent believers. The believers are like stars in heaven. Very precious. And they are in God's right hand. God holds their fate. Okay? And this is what God wants to tell to the church. We are precious. We are like the star in his hand. Very precious. And he look at us all the times. Okay? And the reason he look at us is not that he spy on us, but he care for us. And from verse 2, we can see that he watch over us and watch and see everything that we do. And in verse 2 and verse 3, God mentioned to the believers in Ephesus 9 points that they had done. Okay, God mentioned their works, how much work they do, what kind of attitude they do it, and their labors, how much time they spend on, your patience, how much love they have to whom, and all kinds of people. Do they have patience? And also they see that Jesus sees people's character, what they like, what they dislike, and Jesus tells them that you cannot bear those who are evil. Okay? And you have tested those who said they are apostles and are not. Now, this really shows that the believer's emphasis is quite mature. They're able to discern. Some people claim themselves they're apostles or preachers. And they discover they are not. They're counterfeit, pretending. Okay? And so they have a lot of spiritual knowledge to discern. So they're quite mature in the knowledge of God. Ephesus Church was established by Paul in the third missionary journey. And he spent some time, a couple years, in that place. And the church was quite prosperous. God performed a lot of miracles through the hands of Paul. And many people, even sorcerers, came to believe. Okay. And eventually, the people who made idols are very jealous of Paul, and they hated Paul and persecuted Paul. And if you look at the letters in the book of Ephesus in the Bible, you can see that the believers in Ephesus are quite mature. They are not like the Corinthian believers, jealousy, acting like the babies. Okay? And in fact, Paul told them, put on the full armor of God so that they can fight a good warfare for God. And from that context, we can see that they are ready to become a soldier of Christ. And Paul told them this. So they are quite mature. Let's continue to look at next verse. Okay, verse 3. And you have persevered and have patience. And Lord Jesus knew how much they had suffered, how much they endured. Okay, and had labored for my name's sake and had not become weary. Okay, so they are quite fervent. Continue to do the work of God. However, verse 4, it says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And from this verse, we can see, Lord Jesus Christ sees everything. In fact, he also sees what's in people's heart and how much they have loved Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Sometime, I like to use marriage to illustrate. Most of us haven't married yet, but I'm sure that one day we'll get married. And when you'll discover that some people, when they fell in love with somebody, eventually get married, there's a time that is first love. The time that we're willing to sacrifice everything that we have for the other person. But then later on, you discover after marriage, gradually, that first love disappear. Even though a husband and wife may live together, husband went out to earn money, and wife take care of the kids, take care of the house, cook the food. Okay? And people think that everything's normal, everything's good. But, you know, in marriage, we can be very sensitive. Yes, it's good that people marry together, but gradually, people taking husband or wife for granted. Okay? And gradually, maybe the kid, as they grow up, they have put their focus on the kids. So the relationship between husband and wife gradually become diluted. They are doing the works, but then they lose that first love. Sometimes they build their love upon the children. Okay? And that's why, as time goes by, they're love for each other become less and less. Sometimes they allow the kids to sleep between the parents, right? Because the kids, one that doesn't want to sleep alone. And sometimes it's okay the kids sleep with parents, but sleep on the side. Also, taking a photo too. Sometimes I look at a photo, I can see if the kids have become the center of the focus. You see that if the kids sits between parents in the middle, you know that their focus is the kids. And what's bad about that is, if the best gift that we can give to the kids is husband and wife love each other, and the kids will feel secure, right? It's not that with a lot of money they give to the kids. And the husband and wife, because they put focus on the kids and not on each other, gradually the feeling for each other is less and less. And sometimes we heard after the kids go to college, the parents divorce because they feel like the reason I did not divorce you is because it's for the kids. I'm sure that you heard such news, things before. And so between husband and wife, even though the husband earn money, wife do the housework, it doesn't mean they truly love each other. The same thing between church and Christ. Even the church is doing all the work for Jesus Christ, but they really don't have time to sincerely spend the time, talk to heart with Christ. Just like husband and wife, they're so busy earning money, taking kids, they're lacking the time to communicate with each other. As a result, their feeling for each other getting less and less. And so the word first love, it can refer to the time when we first love our spouse or the time we love God or know God. However, the proper way to describe first love is if you look at the Greek, it means proto. Proto means first, or it can be a model. You go to see a model house, model home. Okay. When there's a model, it means this is the perfect, good one. And the believers in Ephesus had lost their first love. It means that in their faith, there's a time that they really, really love God. Okay, they love God selflessly. Okay? And really, with not just all their body, but with all their heart, and with all their soul, with all their strength. Okay? So the believers, even they do a lot of work, but then Jesus Christ can sense that they don't love Jesus as much as before. Okay? Jesus noticed all those things because he watches intensely. I don't know if you know it. Let's look at an example. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at verse 7 and 8. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as to the heathen do, for they think that there will be heard for their many words. Verse 8. Therefore, do not like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Here, Bible tells us our God, our Father in heaven, knows what we need before we ask him. How did he know? Because he watches us. Imagine if somebody on this earth knows what you think, or what you need. He must be a person that always observes you. And also he places himself into your shoes to know how you feel. Our God constantly watches us. He also places himself into our heart, okay, knowing what we need, how we feel. So this is our God. So God had revealed to the believers in Ephesus and also to us that he really cares and he really knows everything. Okay? So this is the first point. Second point is verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first work. We mentioned in the first point, Jesus Christ knows everything, including that they have forsaken their first love. And so the second point is Jesus told them what they should do, the solution to resolve this problem. And Jesus simply said to them, remember the three steps. Remember where you have fallen. Second, repent. Third, do the first work. And this is the advice, the solution that Jesus Christ gave to believers in Ephesus and also to us. Okay. And today, this is something we had to think for ourselves, because every one of us is different. we have fallen in different areas. So nobody can think for us, and nobody can speak to us only. Right? It's something that we had to talk to God, in front of God, nakedly, meaning nothing hiding. Right? God knows everything. And if we try to pretend, or we don't want to talk about it, we are simply just deceiving ourselves. Because God knows everything. Where's there to point to hide? So the best way is just talk to God heart to heart. And sometimes we don't see. We just tell God, please help me. But there are things that we can see, we can think about it, and see ourselves. And I'd like to mention to you, there are five things that I do too, to examine if I have forsake the first love. And I usually form the small things. We don't have to start with the very big things. First, prayer. Just this afternoon, we had mentioned, Deacon Huang Xie had mentioned that, you know, prayer reflects what we care, what we emphasize. So what do we pray in our prayer? And what we say, what we think in our prayer shows what we care and emphasize. And do you remember the time that you attend NYTS or student special convocation or any church events, or even at home praying for the Holy Spirit? And the time that when we pray and we receive Holy Spirit, how joyful that is. Also, pray with everybody or pray alone. You feel that sweetness. You feel that your heart is so clear, so transparent. Okay, and you feel like you want to have this kind of prayer forever because you really enjoyed it. But now, how do we pray at home? Sometimes we don't pray. Sometimes we pray just a couple words and we say amen. What happened to us? It's something we have to think about, where we have fallen. And the prayer shows it. Is our prayer getting closer and closer to God and regain the frequency of praying to God, you know, has become sweeter and sweeter and more enjoyable every time? Or is it getting worse? Feel like the more I pray, it seems like I feel farther from God. There must be something. Okay? And I'd like to share with you, let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. Please turn to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15 and 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of the life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Bible here says, do not love the world. This world is not talking about Grand Canyon, Yosemite, nature. It's not. Here, the world talking about is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of this life. And it can be many things. It can be money. It can be opposite sex. It can be pride, like I want glory, I want people to acknowledge me, I want power, I want fame. Okay, I want the lust of flesh can be I want enjoyment, okay? Luxury. So all those things, it can be the world. And do we love the world? You know what? Honestly speaking, I sense that we lose our first love so easily. Maybe you can experience that very moment for a period of time, but usually less than a week. We're probably somewhere else, not in the peak. Okay. So first love is not something that, you know, in us too long. Okay. And this is something we have to always constantly remind ourselves. Where have we fallen? And just look at the things that we pray for. It tells a lot what we care, what we emphasize. And maybe that's where we've fallen. Okay. So first, look at the content of our prayer. Okay. and look at how we pray to God, okay? And how do we feel from a prayer, okay? So this is the first point. Second, I'd like to mention to you what I use to examine myself if I fall from the first love, is how we listen to sermon or how we read the Word of God. I remember the first time I come to church, you know, I feel the sermon is so wonderful. And I feel that as I listen to it, I feel so, like I was nurtured, I was strengthened, I enjoyed it. And so I keep coming. But then after a certain time, you know, I guess I listened to quite a bit, I sort of sense that the people who speak the sermon is not enough to give it to me, to satisfy me. And I also talked to the pastor about it. So what should I do? Okay, and he gave me some counsel. But then, you know, if you look at in our lives, after you have listened for a couple of years, pretty much, you have heard all the Bible stories. And I remember this one youth, I encouraged him to read the Bible, and he did. And then after, and I asked, how's the Bible reading? He said he doesn't read anymore. I asked why. He said, I finished one time. I know it's everything in there. And so he doesn't want to read again. And I sensed that, you know, maybe first time is something new. Oh, Bible, what's this about? Oh, let me read it. Sermon, what's this about? Let me listen to it. But after a while, we feel like sometimes it's pretty much the same thing. Faith, love, hope. Right. Nothing new. And so sometimes some people become an expert in listening to the Word of God. Let me think, what are you going to talk about? Let me think, what verse will you use? Let me think about how are you different from others. But we're not really treating it as the Word of God. We're not really trying to like hear it as God speaking to us. Right? We become very judgmental, critical, be objective. Okay, and so gradually, we lose that kind of heart to listen to the Word of God because we feel like we know quite a bit. But the key is, I found whenever we listen with a humble heart, we listen with a sincere heart. I really want to hear the Word of God. Because even though, yes, maybe I heard it, but doesn't mean that I did it. Maybe I heard it before, but now it's a couple years later, I'm in different situation. Before I was a student, now I'm a working youth. And at that time, I'm thinking about how this Word of God applied to my school. But now I'm working youth. How does the Word of God apply in my work? That part we haven't thought about. So, yes, the Word of God, we only have one Bible. But it really, if we can enjoy, I mean, know how to meditate, we'll be enjoying meditating. And not just reading the Bible. I mean, not just listening to a sermon, but also reading the Bible. Maybe we read it one time. We know what's in there. But we also need to read with humility and sincerity. And oftentimes, I discover when I read it with humility and sincerity, I always get to see new things in the Bible. And I can feel that God speak to me. And I don't know, have you feel like you see something in the Bible as if God was speaking to you? And you become so delighted. You feel edified just reading the Bible. Okay? And if we're with humble heart, we can feel God speaking to us. And we feel that joy again. Okay. So how we perceive, listen to a sermon, and also reading the Bible tells us, you know, where are we right now in our spirituality, our first love towards God. Okay. Loving the Word of God is also loving God. And God wants us to meditate and really practice His Word. This is the second point, a second application. Third, let's look at how we work and how other people. From our actions, we can see if we have lost our first love or not. Some of us have experienced when we do the holy work. You know, we're so fervent, we're so sincere. But we discover that on the way, doing a lot of work, sometimes we encounter some people may criticize us, misunderstand us, pour cold water upon us, even slander us. and we feel hurt. And so next time when we do the work, some people never regain that first love. They become, say, oh, no, if I do it, I'll get criticized. The best way is I don't want to do it anymore. And we lose that love, first love towards God. Right? So this is something for us to think about. What kind of attitude do we have as we're working for God? And what kind of attitude we preach to other people? Right? At first, when we preach, it was very exciting. I said something so good. But when we discover that other people doesn't see it like a big deal, some people may not appreciate what we receive. They feel like that's nothing compared to money. Okay. And so we sort of don't want to preach the gospel because we don't want to be rejected or be looked down by other people or thinking as a weird. Okay. So what happened to that first love? You know, preaching for Jesus, working for Jesus. Fourth, I'd like to mention to all of us, think about what we pursue in life. What we pursue in life really shows if we have lost our first love or not. In the beginning, for me, I believe and the purpose was to be safe. And it has become a very important priority. Okay? But you know, you can see a lot of people in people's life that, yeah, a lot of people first baptized. Their goal is to be safe, to go to heaven, because Jesus Christ really loves us, and he has a lot of things to give it to us in heaven. But then as we grow older and older, and you work in the society, you found that money, it's a very interesting thing. The money become more and more powerful. If I have money, I can do this. If I have money, I don't have to work. If I have money, I can take vacations. If I have money, I buy what I want. If I have money, I can tell people what to do. If I don't have money, then total opposite. I got to work. I have to listen to other people. I cannot buy what I want. I always have to wait. Right? So money becomes an important thing. And I still remember this is something we all had to go through. This is a challenging life. Remember when in elementary school, junior high, high school, we're just students and parents take us to church, right? We study and parents tell us to pray. And then when we go to college, you know, of course, we start to serving in the church. Same thing, we also cultivate ourselves and our life is quite simple. Study, go to church, and that's pretty much it, right? But then after you graduate from college, you found now we had to work 8 hours a day at least, right? Not including the driving. And then the time is quite limited. Now I had to cultivate myself and go to church and do holy work. Time is getting tighter. And then when you want to go another step further, getting married, finding a spouse, got to spend time with them. You have another person added in your life. You have to spend more time with her, okay? And then time's getting shorter and shorter. Did you see? Now work, and then now the spouse. And then wait until you have children. Right? Now it's not just work. It's not just church. Now it's not just spouse. Now with kids, too. So it seems like, you know, juggling. You have one ball first, piece of cake. Now two and a three and a four. Okay, and then, but at the same time, we learn how to manage our time more wisely. You know, when we're young, we just wasted time, watch TV, many hours, a whole day gone. But as we grow older and older, we learn from our mistake. That time is precious, and we have to use it wisely. There's no all the time we want, you know, to spend watch TV anymore. Sometimes people have to work, and then you discover that once you have a house, you have to take care of the lawn, you take care of the family, take care of the kids, this and that, and do the holy work, and pray, okay? So, of course, time will become less. But the thing is, what are we pursuing? Sometimes people are lost when all these things come in, and they lost pursuing to be with God. Okay? Just like no matter how busy it is, husband and wife need to talk heart to heart to build out the relationship, to retain their first love to each other, so the marriage can be enjoyable. Same thing. No matter how busy we are, we still need to spend some time talk to God heart to heart. Okay. And just a matter of priority. And we know that if priority is correct, I'm not saying we have to spend all day long with God. Okay. But if we, it's a matter of heart, as we do it for God. As I take care of family, I remember God's teaching, what to teach the kids. So everything we can do for God. And that will make us prosper, growing in the spirit, okay? So this is the fourth point, okay? What are we pursuing right now? And if we're pursuing something wrong, something off, then it's time to pull it back and put God first. Okay. Last, I'd like to talk about motive. Many people have experienced that when they first come, they baptize, they receive Holy Spirit, they feel like God really loved them, God dying for them. Okay. And the only way to repay God is to dedicate myself to serve God wholeheartedly. But as time passed by, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, people start to discover that their motive in serving God started to change, just like King Saul. When before he became king, he was a very humble person. But after he became king, he started to change. Right? Because the power, because kingship had made him a different person. And same thing, today we may serve God, but what happened to our motive? Gradually, we receive people's praise. And we kind of maybe addicted to it. Oh yeah, I want to do holy work so that I can be acknowledged by people. People praise me. It makes me feel very, very good. Or it can be, wow, look at that person serving for a long time. Now he become board member, become a deacon or elder or title, power. Maybe that attracts us. Or maybe something very common happened to a lot of people. In the past, doing for God can be no pay, no benefits whatsoever. But then as we work more and more, gradually, I like to have some benefits. And if it's out of my way too much, no, I don't want to do it. But if it's just on the way, okay, it's not costing me too much trouble, maybe just on the way, I do it. Okay. So gradually, our motive become impure. Okay. And that is something that we need to examine. And if we have wrong motive, we need to repent. Because God do look at our motive. Okay. And if a right motive, we'll do it joyfully, happily, and God will accept our work. If our motive is wrong, God will not like it. Okay. And in fact, God will not remember what we do. So let's think about these five things. Where have we fallen? And I have given to all of us five things to think about. How do we pray? What do we pray, right? Second, how do we listen? And how do we read Bible? Right. Third, how do we help and do the work? Fourth, what are we pursuing? Fifth, what is our motive? Right. So all these things can help us to find back our first love. We'll just do what we have been doing before, okay, with the right attitude and right value. Last one, the third point. Lord Jesus Christ presented to them two choices, two consequences. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Second half of verse 5. It says, "Or else I come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." So Lord Jesus Christ is telling them, if we do not repent, well, first, the believer in Ephesus will lose their church. What does that mean? You see, when people don't have that first love, yeah, people come to church. It becomes like a formality. There's no life in it, right? Because our love is limited. We need to receive from God. We need to know God and communicate with God and love God so that we're willing to do it eagerly and willingly, okay? Nothing reserve, we hold nothing back. And if we don't gain that first love, just like a marriage, after a while, we don't want God. You know, we feel like everybody fulfills duty. There's not that love. Eventually, people gradually farther and farther away from God. Eventually, they disappear from church. And if everybody's like that, eventually the church would disappear. Right? People in the church, they don't feel the true love. It's all not hypocrisy, it's just formality. Everybody can say, hi, bye, and then every week. Okay, come here, sit down, get up, and go. Okay. And so there's no love, no enjoyment with God. Okay, it's just formality. Eventually, people's spiritual life will dry up. And look at the apostolic church. It's an example that in Acts chapter 2, the believers really love God. They wholeheartedly follow apostles' teaching. And they, because of God, they communicate, fellowship with each other wholeheartedly, and they eat together like a family, okay? They do all these things because their faith in God, their first love for God. But then you can see that many things happened to the apostolic church. Eventually, there's a lot of heresies, people's love grow cold, and eventually, the apostolic church never regained that first love. It disappeared in the church history. There's no salvation anymore. You cannot find a true church. Right? But Jesus Christ also told us, if we repent, we shall receive the tree of life. That's recorded in verse 7. Now, the tree of life, we also think, some people think that, oh, after we die, after judgment day, I'm safe, but then I have to go to paradise God and eat a tree of life, the fruit of tree of life. I eat it, and I have eternal life. No, it's not. That's not what it meant. What it means is that this tree of life is not actually a physical tree. In Genesis chapter 3, you can see that the tree of life, at first, okay, is a physical tree. People can eat the fruit and live forever. But that tree disappeared. And in the Bible, as the Bible starts to mention, there are other kinds of tree of life. Let's turn to look at a couple examples. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18. I'd like to show you a couple of verses and I'll summarize it. What's the tree of life? Verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. She is a tree of life. This she is referred to wisdom in verse 13. Okay, a person who found wisdom, this wisdom shall be like a tree of life, give him life. He knows this way of salvation. Okay. Second, let's look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he who wins soul is wise. The fruit of the righteous means the deeds, the conducts, the work of a righteous person is a tree of life to people. Okay. Such as what he said to people, or what he do can bring life to other people. So the conducts of a righteous person is a tree of life. So it's no longer a physical object of a tree with a fruit. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Hope defer make the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Here described the tree of life is as when something we've been hoping for, been waiting for a long time. But the moment when we received it, because we waited for a long time, we're so happy, we're so joyful. You know what? That is like a tree of life. We feel like the heart because rejuvenated, has life. Like Jacob, he lost his son, Joseph. He thought he was dead. And Bible describes he's always sad. He always grieve. His heart become cold. But Bible say again, when he realized that Joseph was not dead, but alive, Bible describes that his heart came back to him. Right? He has hope. Right? He looking forward to see Joseph. His outlook of life is very positive. So this is a tree of life. So to summarize it, the tree of life is that in this context, in Revelation, it means that when we truly repented and then found our first love, then everything that we do in the church, everything that we do for God in our faith, right, it will have life. We want to do the work. We enjoy doing it. We enjoy to come to church to listen the word of God and read the word of God because we feel God is speaking to us. Right? When we pray, we feel truly that God is listening to us. Right? We have peace of mind. Right? We truly communicate with God. We really experience the love of God. And this is the tree of life in our faith. We need it. But the only way to gain it is we need to go back and find our first love, regain our first love. So there's two consequences. Either we regain it, find life in our faith, or eventually we live a very boring spiritual life, and maybe we even fall away. So I'd like to use these 3 points in the Ephesus Church, in the book of Revelation for mutual encouragement. The 3 points is, first, God knows everything. There's nothing to hide from God. Okay. Second, God gave a solution how to seek back our first love. And I mentioned 5 examples, 5 things that we can consider. Last one, how do we know if I found the first love back? Do we feel life in our faith? If we do, then we have found first love. Let's sing hymn. We forgot to put it on, the second hymn. Let's sing hymn 471.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be here than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather His nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain. What if God is a dress way? I'd rather have Jesus than
Please remain standing. Let's bow our head, pray in silence to conclude this session. Amen.